Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, emergency powers, the cosy nook, and a lack of sport. To try and give you a taste of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at imtoday.co.im, I'm joined by news hound Sam Turton.
It's me.
Hello!
Bit of entertainment for the people at home, though. It's been a tough week for people.
Wow. Plus Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hi. Not bringing as much sunshine as Sam this week.
Yes,
that's me burning
pretty spectacular. That's up there with Sam Turton's array of sound effects.
He even did like open arms as if he was welcoming the listener into a hug,
right.
A virtual hug.
Well, within
from social distancing.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of questions about your sound effects last week from the people on the street, but from 2 meters away, and they were saying the glass breaking last week
was not great, was it?
Well, they were saying
was that the bus? It was sound effect.
No, the bus S was, and I can't even remember that was now, but there was a glass. Oh, it might have been. It might have been the glass, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. But yeah, there was a bit no context there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I put you on the spot, and I feel sorry for that. Maybe you should pre-record your sound effects, and then maybe producer Emma just drops them in, so we don't know. And then when we listen back to it, it'll be like, oh, she's gone for the Sam Turton kangaroo impression.
Do you not think this all seems a bit like Tim Westwood?
Oh, the bomb. Yeah. To be fair, that's a niche reference. Is Tim Westwood still a thing?
Sam, you're younger than us. Do the kids listen to Tim Westwood?
Wasn't his dad a vicar?
Yeah, his dad was a vicar who was in. He was into knitting,
and he had.
We have discussed that on this podcast before.
And Tim Westwood had the novelty bomber jacket. Didn't he?
Like how Brian many podcasts Harvey? In 2020 are discussing Tim Westwood and his dad?
Not enough. Not enough. Apart from the Tim Westwood and his dad podcast, which is turned into a television series by Netflix in the autumn. I'm guessing. To be honest,
Knitting with my father.
Right, we've got lots to discuss this week. Obviously, it's been a tough week, hasn't it? We're going to have a moment of seriousness here. It's not been the greatest week. Obviously, coronavirus. The news stories we're going to talk about this week, we've got the emergency powers, which we'll talk about in a minute, and we'll also talk about the other sort of press conferences and stuff like that. That's why Jess isn't with us this week, isn't it, Sam? She's just been to the Barule suite for today's briefing.
Yeah, that's Barule with two O's instead of a U-L-E.
Yes, I didn't know that till today.
The things you learn in this job.
Yeah,
Jess just been out there with Big Chief Howard and Health and Social Care Minister David Ashford and a couple of doctors, I believe.
I enjoyed the doctor's input, actually. That
good.
Was one of the better things from the press conference.
I enjoyed Jess's input. I think the work she's been doing on the podcast shone through there. She's very confident on air.
She was excellent, if they'd let her speak.
Yeah, there was a bit weird how she only got like a couple of questions asked.
Yeah.
And the patronising...
young lady.
Yeah, there you go. Could be worse. They could have said old trout, couldn't they?
I really wish she had the presence of mind to go, okay, boomer.
Oh, boomer?
Yeah.
Why?
It's a big thing in the social meds. Okay, boomer.
I don't think Howard Quayle's on Instagram, checking out the memes.
What? He's on Twitter.
What's boomer then?
Boomer is like...
So the baby boomer generation.
Ah,
so it's like,
okay.
So there's a thing in America where somebody went, you millennials are all the same, and the woman stood up and went, okay, boomer.
Right.
So it's like this whole thing of don't patronize us, look what your age group have done to the world. So okay, boomer.
Not quite as good as our Tim Westwood reference.
No, that's not.
No,
yeah.
But there you go.
Yeah, boy. That's what Josh should have said.
Is that Westwood says?
Yeah, doesn't he?
I just remember he going, drop that, boom! And then there was a bomb sound
effect. I thought he called everyone boy. Like, yeah, boy!
Didn't he
And he was right from a very upper middle
like,
class
again,
family.
I'm not trying to detract from coronavirus or anything like that, but my Westwood theme will continue. Didn't he do Pimp My Ride for a while?
He did the English Pimp My Ride.
He
exhibited the American one.
Wow. I might box set that tonight.
Because in the American one, they had the coolest cars, and in the British one, they were all in, like, Croydon and Essex and...
I'm here in Reading! This guy has bought a Suzuki Swift! It's a three-door hatchback! Yeah, Sam, you're definitely going to look at that tonight, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy! right, just talking of powers, in this case, emergency, obviously we're in the midst of a... I don't want to over-gild the lily here, but it is a crisis, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And this week, the Lieutenant Governor gave the government emergency powers, didn't he? Under the, about you've put it down from here, the 1936 Emergency Powers Act, which was, of course, dominated the front page of the Indy this week, Sam. So do you want to sort of run us through it, if you can, in sort of a brief way?
Right, so a state of emergency has been declared on the island. As the suggestion is from the 1936 Powers Act, it's not a very regularly used act. Mm-hmm. Last time it was used was...
1936.
1939.
Bang on.
Boom. Been listening
Why
to the
Why did they put it
week?
in 1936, then?
Because it was...
Were they anticipating?
If you know the history of Europe in the 1930s, there was a possibility something like this could happen.
Right.
So it was more like a, you know, it was a preparation. Okay. And also, you never knew when you might need it.
Okay.
You know, it's like...
It's pet better to have it and not need it.
It's like pet insurance.
Yeah. Fair point. So, it's like pet insurance.
So, since midnight on Tuesday into Wednesday, so yep. a couple of days ago, anyone who arrives on the island by boat or by plane or... They're the only two ways you can get here. Yeah, helicopter. Coming by helicopter. So anyway, anyone who gets here,
by sea or air.
They have to yes. isolate for 14 days.
Yes, self-isolate.
Whether you've got symptoms or not. Yeah, sadly, yeah. So if you don't, though, you risk a 10 grand fine or 3 months in prison.
Yeah.
So
10G, as Tim West would say.
Yeah. Or
10 of the big ones.
Oh, I know. Do you know what? You're going to look great as Tim Westwood on the art.
You will. Can we be pit bulls?
What?
He always had dogs with like chains on, didn't
okay,
he?
Great. So anyway, otherwise you can have 3 months in prison, which of course means you would be in self-isolation anyway.
Yeah.
So it's basically, the whole idea of this is to try and protect the island economy, protect the people as much as possible. I mean, beyond this, I mean, there's a bigger issue here, something that we've, even today, you know, it's a weird one because, let's be frank, we don't deal with instantaneously breaking news regularly. Mm. You know, really. And this past week has been one after the other.
Yeah.
I mean, today alone you had the Bank of England base rate drop down to 0.1%, which is the lowest it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Catholic Church saying to people, you don't have to go to church on Sundays. They've never done that. Mm-hmm. During the plague, people went to church on Sundays.
Wow.
You know, you've now got this stage where, I suppose the upside of it is, you know, we have the technology now that you can do a webcam sort of service, but that's where we've got to. And it's mad that this is where we are. Mm. I mean, you'll see it yourself. People are going to be working from home more and more in this office. You know, we don't really know what incarnation we'll be in next week. The
yeah.
So, so.
Yeah, so the emergency powers, as you say, people are being told to self-isolate when they arrive in the island. Now, do we think people are going to do this? Will they do it? How much persuasion are they going to be given when they get to the port? You know, get yourself home. Sort
as
of
people may have heard, certain folk from up on the hill at Manx Radio have told stories about the people in the cafe and the people in the pubs.
Yeah.
And I think there probably are people who will try and flout this. There are to every law. It's if you take the Ironman's approach to speeding, it's an interesting interpretation of what legal is. So I think there's elements of that could come in here. You know, what do you think, Kate? You know the people.
I think quite a lot of people really don't understand the
severity of this.
Yeah, the severity of the situation, and are really not taking into account something which might not affect them much, but could
affect,
completely destroy the families.
Yeah.
Even from.
And do you think this whole crisis is highlighting how far our social conscience has slipped as a community?
You can see a massive difference between people who are taking it seriously and people who are like, "Well, I'll carry on going out as usual." Mm-hmm. It was also quite scary how many people don't wash their hands.
In
general. That's quite...
No, you've got a good point. But just to flip that, you know, we see all the Stronger Together stuff we're trying to do on our social medias.
Yes. Yep,
and we're trying to get people to, if they can help, or that people are emailing us all the time, aren't they, saying offering help or services, or we're going to try and open our shops at this time for certain things like that.
Yeah.
Do we think we could come out the other side of this with a better community spirit and this sort of be kinder thing that everything's been, you know, been tracking towards crisis unfolded?
I think especially I speak to friends in Argentina or in other parts of the world, and it sounds a lot worse where they are because they live in bigger cities, or they don't have that sense of community. And like you said, over here, everyone who is taking this seriously very much seems to be like, if you know a vulnerable adult or someone who is self-isolated needs help, like, get in touch. And they're trying to, you know, like, Robinson's are doing fresh food deliveries.
There's a lot of people,
my meat van people.
Yeah,
you can
you
get your meat delivered from them to your house. I heard today Wine Down is going to be doing deliveries of wine, van food. But, you know, you can get your wine for your 14 days.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, one of the things as well, like today we were trying to, because we've had a lot of phone calls and subscriptions off people who, a lot of older people really dislike reading the newspaper on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But they are told, you know, you can't go to your shop. So it's interesting seeing how many shops around the island are trying to change their services just so the usual people who go into their shop can still get the same things every day.
They're becoming community hubs.
They are, they really are. So we're trying to work with a lot of the local shops to find out what we can advertise for them so that everyone's aware of their options when they might not be leaving the house.
And another thing, I know we don't wish to dwell on it for too long, but there's a concern about people's mental health, isn't there? You know, this week has been tough in here. You know, it's been stressful. We're trying to get news out to people listening. We're trying to juggle page impressions and all sorts of different stuff like that. And it is stressful. If you then compound that, where you know there is an danger to life potentially, and then you put in self-isolation on top of that, it's a horrible mix, isn't it? You know, could we, you know, is it the case of we sort of try and encourage people to talk more, or how do we sort of get through this, Sam?
We've gone very Radio 4. I'm not used to this level of seriousness in the podcast. I think there's the whole thing about it is that you're right, we do have to go back to sort of things that we used to do, in a sense. I mean, growing up, I knew everybody on my street down to about number 18, so that's about 12 or so down from my house, and on the other side of the road as well. I think now I probably know 3 of the people who live next door, and you know, in that sort of shrunk sort of thing, so... Yeah. I think there's an argument with that. But also you got like areas where there are big collections of elderly people who are living in particular like flats in Douglas, Annika sort of area and Uncan. And they're sort of, it's an interest on them sort of areas, because I think that there has been too slow some of the information to come out. And I know that the government have tried to rectify this week. But when we were looking at it on Monday and we're coming in saying they've not told us anything since Friday, I think that has been a problem. And I think they need to get that right this weekend. Because you can't... I mean, people, as we said, you know, the churches aren't open. That's another social aspect gone. It's another source of information for people, of somebody that they trust. And I suppose that's where we in the media have sort of an important role in this, is to not only to get people to try and talk to the neighbours and see if they need anything, but also that element of giving something that they can trust, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of crap going around on social media.
Facebook this week has been unbelievable.
I deactivated Facebook. I'm so tired of some of the stuff that you're seeing on there at the moment.
Whoever, you know, invented the screen grab, you know, sometimes you think, well, this is brilliant. Other times, you absolute fool, because there's just stuff. It's just unchecked, isn't it? I think Facebook seem to be, the Facebook police seem to be cutting down a lot of stuff, but there is so much rubbish out there.
Yeah.
And that's what worries people more than anything.
Especially, you imagine if you are on your own for 14 days in a house and you're going on social media, it's just going to scare you more and more, some of the stuff you're seeing. And there's no facts behind a lot of this stuff.
It's like the one that was in our WhatsApp group, wasn't it? You know the one about the army moving in?
Yes.
And it was like this picture of it where it's like the army coming down the motorway. And you're like...
We should point out this was in England, wasn't it?
This is in England, right? Yeah. Well, the motorway would have been a gift.
Yeah. You mean it's not the bit down past Santon, no?
No. That's the Santon Motel. Very, very similar, but slightly different. So, like, it was just sort of weird, right? Because you're looking at it going, it's so clearly not Britain. It's, you know, the trucks on the wrong, they're on the right side of the road, on the right hand side of the road.
Yeah.
They've got, like, because they had the Red Cross symbol on it, people are going, oh, they're English. And you're like, the British Army don't go around with the English flag painted on the side of a Jeep.
Yeah.
The license plate on one of them, you could even see the FR where it was the French.
Yeah.
And you're looking at it going, what? People are sharing this round.
It's because they're scared, though, and they're looking for information. And I think you touched on it before, Katie, this is where we hopefully can play some sort of role. And, you know, we are working really hard at the moment, all of us as a team, to try and produce the information that people want, really.
Yeah, because it's about getting actual facts in the newspaper and not spreading just false fear to people. That when they, like you said, there's so much good things happening at the same time with people who are willing to help and to... you know, lend a hand. Like, we've got people saying they would deliver papers to people if they need, and just because obviously a lot of people as well, they don't have internet, so they can't go on and see the latest updates, so they rely on knowing who they can contact.
But yeah, it's interesting times, and it's a story that's going to run and run for, you know, It could be months yet, couldn't it, Sam?
Well, I mean, it's one of them where you sort of hope it's going to end on Monday, but it isn't, I'm afraid. It's just not.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's weird because it's sort of rumbled towards us in a strange sense that I think the first time I heard about coronavirus was like January. And then in that time, I've been swept up in Liverpool are going to win the treble, then we're not. Brexit. Do you remember Brexit?
Heady days.
Brexit was like a summer.
Yeah.
It's like a summer dream compared to this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we were there concerning. We were actually concerned about fights in
the
aisles.
The colour of our passports.
Yeah.
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 We were all getting blue passports. Do you remember when that came out? Is it blue? Is it black?
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, you know, this is the state that the country's in. We're just looking at it going, what on earth is going on? And I think this is stretched, in a sense, and this is going to be weird for me because I'm not a big government supporter, as much as we're aware. The level of leadership and calmness that you're seeing on a daily basis coming out of Howard Quayle, Alf Cannon, David Ashford, Lawrence Kelly, they're repeatedly the ones who are getting put forward as like their departments are the ones that are running all this. You're looking at it going, Boris is on TV every night and he looks like a confused child. And these are people who look like they know what they're doing. And that's an interesting sort of development, I think, is that it's a weird sense that locally we have our stuff together.
Yeah.
I just say as well, one thing we mentioned in the podcast last week, and I think this is something really positive that's come out of all of this horrible stuff so far, is that, what was the hashtag, March?
Manx March.
Everyone I know at the moment has been talking about buying local.
Yeah.
Because obviously people are panic buying things, which makes no sense because you need to have the best kind of quality food if you do get ill.
Yeah.
And so you've got all of these local businesses with like fresh produce willing to deliver. So I think it, and
when that went out with Food and Farmer, wasn't Julie had it there, 1,600 members last Thursday.
Yeah.
They put up a thing today saying they were now over 2,500.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you look at it, I mean, there was Tesco there, the Manx lamb.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous bit of lamb. Did it last Sunday. Great.
Yeah.
You can't beat the stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It is a bit pricey in some places. It's going to be, but you're getting a higher quality.
Yeah. I think now, especially with just supermarkets being empty, it's really pushing people to be, what's grown here? What can I buy that's from here? What businesses can I support over here?
Yeah.
Just to make sure they're still around in a few months.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, moving on from the gloom of Corona, let's go on to the gloom of the new Cozy Nook Cafe in Port Erin, Sam.
I like it.
It looks like a spaceship.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit Red Dwarf, isn't it?
It's, you know what? It's a bit. It's like a sound. They've got a bit of the sound.
Yeah.
And then a bit of the apartments on atop of, what do you call it, at the top of the Douglas Head.
Oh, you know, yeah,
the one
yeah,
on the
yeah,
left on
yeah.
the way up. Stuck a bit of that, and then gone, there we go, lads.
It's like they're taking the sand, they're going, ah, to hell, put a gazebo at the back.
Have you seen the artistic impression?
No, I've not seen it at all, so I'm trying to visualise from your description.
Right, imagine
now.
If you strip back Teletubby Hill.
Yeah.
And it has levels. It's
you
like
took
that.
Away the turf.
Yeah. So it's like that, essentially. And, we've given Grace so many choices
yeah.
for this week.
Do you know where the Cozy Nook is in Port Erin? The cafe?
No.
Right, so you're on the prom.
Yes.
If you came down onto the prom, instead of going left towards the bay and that's your own LI and down that side,
yeah.
you go right, and then there's a little, sort of on the far end, there's a little lighthouse.
Yes.
And there's a little cafe behind it, just at the end of the
yeah.
prom. That's the Cozy Nook.
Okay, this will be a pretty...
It's quite a traditional building at the moment. It's
yeah, so that'll be a bit out of place in that area.
Well, at the minute, you've got, a traditional sort of Manx cottage style.
Yeah.
Whereas what they're going to replace it with is like this alien spaceship sort of style
Something
thing.
Which wouldn't seem out of place on the other side.
No, I don't think it necessarily... It's not what you call traditional, let's put it that way. But then again, the sound went in, probably people went, oh, that's a bit... Oh. But
yeah.
actually now you think, oh,
it's fantastic,
a,
yeah.
I think the benefit of the sound, realistically, is that it's always be... There's not. That's the only thing there.
Okay.
The problem with Port Erin is possibly more unique than... Maybe Peel's the nearest you get to Port Erin in the way that it was built. So you've got the fishing villages, the fishing cottages at the front.
Yeah.
yeah.
And then you've got like the big grand Edwardian Victorian buildings. And then you've got the modern day sort of estate that's been built at the top. So you've got the three stages of growth throughout it. And this is going to be like going, to hell with that. And here's like, you know, just a spaceship that we're going to crash land on the beach. It's
So what's the reaction been? Yeah, well, obviously we've given our opinions on it. What have the people of Port Erin and the surrounding areas seen, said?
Mixed, I think, is the best.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's been quite a lot of anger in Port Erin last year when the Cozenup didn't open. He ran it, just formerly sold, it was Phil Maltby,
mm-hmm.
who ran it for years. Quite, you know, a lot of support from people. Basically, the commission's saying that, oh, there's this issue with the Port Erin commissions are saying that there's a problem with the building was falling down and it was not in a good state and it was considerable investment to retain, which, to be honest, is starting to get used quite a lot in
planning. Yeah, I can
it's,
imagine.
It's a justification for knocking things down. But I'd look at it and go, well, why not knock it down and replace it with what's there already? You know, you could do a similar design with modern technology in it. But they're going to go for this thing. I do like it. I think it's a nice building, I just think it's in the wrong place.
Well, if you want to see a picture of it, I'm sure Katie's going to be rushing to the paper after this. Page 3 of this week's Alaman Examiner, there is the artist's impression. Is that the correct term? It's almost like a Photoshop now, isn't it? And of course, there's more details on the planning application. And is the planning being passed, or is it just are we?
No, this is the early stages of it.
So I'm sure people.
I don't even know this has been put in for planning. You know, I think this is their concept so far.
Right. Okay.
Because I don't believe I've seen anything. I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. Our planning expert will be back, of course, with that, more information on that later on in the week. Right. Sports story. Of course, you would have had to be under a rock, really. The sad news is there is no sport at the moment. I have to say there is a little bit. There's golf. You fancy a game of golf the weekend?
It's not sport.
Tiger Woods would argue that it is.
Several multimillionaires.
Yeah. If you want to play golf, you can probably still get out and about this weekend. The Isle of Man Karting Association are going ahead on Sunday, so there will be some karting. But aside from that, pretty much the rest of Manx sport is shut down. Manx Youth Games sessions are still continuing for the kids. But aside from that, everything else has gone down. I won't bore you, or depress you, probably more likely, with a full list of cancellations on today's podcast. Although, Sam, you look like you have a question.
I have a question for you that I'd like answered for next week.
Okay.
What that is happening with the English Football League system,
mm-hmm.
what will that do to FC Isle of Man's application?
It's a very good question, but I would suggest they're delaying the league season, aren't they?
So at least the end of April.
Yes, but no. I saw something at lunchtime that suggested that the English system will be played to a finish.
Yeah.
I think with Euro 2020 being pushed back to Euro, we have a bit of leeway in the summer. I think the new season may be shortened and pushed back a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I'm aware, FC Isle of Man, fingers crossed, will be in the English league system next season, whenever it takes place.
It was just something that came up in the pub last night, to be honest. Somebody asked me about it.
I have asked the question. I will have more, hopefully, in the paper next week.
He's not just a pretty face, is he? He's like Bamba Gascoigne.
But if you want to see a full list of what's off, as it were, please do look at this week's Manx Independent, which is in the shops now, of course, available online, Katie, at
iomtoday.co.im, and you click on digital editions where you can access the Examiner, the Independent and the Courier.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, Sam, this week in history, we delve back to Thursday, 17th of March, 1960, in the front page of the Isle of Man Examiner from that week. A very, very, very busy front page,
mm-hmm.
I might say. But you picked up on a few reoccurring themes, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, imagine this. Can you imagine the idea that an MLC...
An MLC, okay.
A member of the Legislative Council...
Uh-huh.
A Manxman, if you will,
okay,
was going to resign his seat, refuse to stand for re-election in the Keys, but return to fight for his seat in the public elections in Peel. That would just not happen.
It would never happen again, would it?
No.
But it has.
It has.
So who was the forerunner?
Well, back then, of course, it was George Moore, who was MLC of the Raggot in Peel. So he told the Examiner that he was quite prepared to resign his seat on the council and fight a House of Keys election, if George Gale was also prepared to do the same. So it seems they had a bit of a falling out.
But this suggests that he wanted to force a by-election by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it's a bit... It is a weird one. But basically, so this is... There's been a long-running battle in all this, right? These papers, we've sort of skirted around it. But there's a reason I've kept going back to examine it, and there's a theme that's run behind it,
okay.
Is Sunday opening hours.
For the pubs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this was all about.
So one was pro, one was against it.
Yeah, Mr. Moore showed... So Mr. Moore was very opposed to it. Mm. Mr. Gale was in favour of it. And it's... I mean, this is when you had the... Norman Crowe was president of the Temperance Organisation.
Right.
which they used to be at every licensing committee hearing. They'd be there going, "No, we don't need this. We're all Methodists. We shouldn't be drinking." And that was so... this is what has drawn this out. It's fantastic.
And what was the other theme that you spotted that, you know, has potentially reared its head again recently?
Katie, can you imagine this? Right, picture this. An airline owned by the Manx government. They were considering it in 1960. They considered it in 2000-odd when Manx Airlines went. They're people are saying they should be considering it now.
Yeah, they've probably got bigger fish to fry at the moment.
Well, yeah. But so this is where we were. They were looking at the getting estimates for how much it would cost to run a runway. And what I like is this, Mr. Coleman foresaw the day when the island would become a suburb of Liverpool, with people commuting by air between their homes and the island to work on Merseyside.
Wow.
Now so, those people can see we're lucky if we can get to Liverpool.
Yeah, fair point, yeah. Some of the other stories. Did you see the picture on the top? One of the main pictures. Katie on the top feet.
The Manx village scene.
Yeah.
More rural beauty.
The most... It just drips of sarcasm because the picture involves...
It's derelict cars or, like, spare tyres in the countryside piled up against walls.
Yeah. It was obviously a sort of comment on people dumping their cars or fly-tipping or something along those lines.
Looking very Emmerdale, isn't it?
I was thinking more like Heartbeat, to be honest. Is that 60s vibe? Because it's got the classic cars.
So, Sam, is there anything else that caught your eye this week?
Well, I think that really we should congratulate Mr. A.B. Brigadier A.B. Barton for attending the Buckingham Palace with the Forces Association. He was given the OBE.
He's looking incredibly dapper.
Which, again, reoccurring themes.
Was he given the CBA, wasn't he?
Was that CBA?
Yes.
Oh, that's a shame, because I'm going to go over it anyway. So, OBE, what a week we've had. Hector.
Did he get it?
He's got his OBE this week.
Even coronavirus can't stop him getting his OBE.
The Germans couldn't, Hitler couldn't, coronavirus couldn't. There's nothing can stop Hector Duff.
Exactly.
Just keeps going. And this week he was presented with his OBE, which will be in the Examiner on Tuesday, I believe.
I tell you what else will be in the Examiner. Very exciting news on Tuesday. Have you heard about this, Kate? This Week in History is making its way into print from next week.
Oh, I did hear whispers of this.
So, not only will you hear us talking about it, from Tuesday, you can buy the Examiner and see the front page that we're seeing, which is just...
Yeah.
Tim Westwood bomb. Mind-blowing thing. But if you want to tease them, Katie, what are the best adverts for you this week?
Well, I was going to say before, when you were about what's caught your eye on the cover, I've not read one of the stories. All I did was look straight to the top left corner, because it's like a warm hug. There's Hotel Sefton in its rightful place.
There is also an advert for Lindsay's for farm and country footwear. Oral shoes.
We need to make a list of these clothing items which we don't quite understand what they are anymore.
And did you see?
I like the one in the... We've got on the bottom right.
Yes.
It's the Manx Bonnie Babies competition.
I think we should bring this back.
Manx Bonnie Babies. And then bottom left, fitted carpets. The foundation of a well-furnished home.
But do we think Bonnie Babies would still be popular?
I think, do you know what, it would, because if you think about every year when we have the Easter Bonnet Parade, there's always a lot of kids in that.
What?
What Easter Bonnet Parade?
Is this it's an always, old country?
It's always in the paper every year. John Madrigal goes along. They have like little Easter Parade things on Sundays.
Do you know what my favourite competition is?
It's Sheep of the Week?
No, it's the Pets.
Oh, Pet of the Year.
I love the pet competition.
But we should definitely do Sheep of the Week. This is Chris from Derby. His interests include...
It's going to be funny. How many weeks we could use the same sheep before we do Just get a sheep from four different angles.
We should definitely suggest that for Freedom of Farming. Sheep of the Week.
I'd love that.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, Katie, before we depart from another week, it's time for Yesa training. Now, we've had a couple of weeks that may be described as dark, but you've got a bit lighter, haven't you, this week, to try and raise everyone's spirits in this troubled time.
I have, but on a side note, last week we did about the only death because of witchcraft in Castletown, and Sam, on his day off, went to Castletown, because we're practising staycation now. And he did. He saw the plaque in Market Square.
Yeah.
For Margaret.
Yeah.
And her son.
Yeah.
How big is it?
It's a good sort of A4.
Oh, that's pretty big.
That is quite
big. It's on the statue. It's on the plinth that doesn't have a statue.
Oh, yeah.
The smelt. Don't they put Christmas? They put Father Christmas on it December.
Did they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No. Today I thought, keep it light, Katie.
Yeah, keep it light.
It's been a heavy week. So I thought, what makes people happier than cats?
Nothing.
Well, dogs make me happier. Yeah, but a lot of people are very fond of cats. You'll see why I'm not later on.
Yeah.
But so I thought we can have some Manx cat facts.
Oh, I love a fact.
So the tail is caused by a genetic mutation that goes way back because the cat population was so small, the mutation became very common occurrence.
Hashtag inbreeding.
Yes. However, we all know that the real reason the Manx cat has no tail is because it was chopped off when Noah was closing the door of the ark.
I didn't know that, but
it's
I do know.
Very Manx attitude, running late.
Yes, last on.
Exactly.
This closing rain the will door. Stop. Used to it by now.
Yep. And then Sam walked past my desk earlier, saw what I was doing, and was like, look at Coco the gorilla. So I spent
Is that code word?
I spent quite some time researching
Coco
the gorilla.
The pigeon flies over Krakow tonight.
But Coco the gorilla was a famous research gorilla who was taught over 1,000 words in sign language.
Yeah. Dirty ones.
No, do you not remember this one? It was one with Robin Williams.
I wondered what you were doing there.
It was a lot of hand gestures.
The one with Robin Williams where he went and met the gorilla and she could speak sign language too.
Oh.
They were friends.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was actually fascinating, the stuff I was reading.
Did I even take that?
No. Robin Williams.
Oh, right. I was going to say. Right.
Go and ask Jeeves about him.
I will do. My like cost account has been suspended.
So Coco the gorilla, she had a fondness for Manx cats. So according to her Wikipedia page, and quite a few other... No, she never ate them.
Oh, right. I thought you'd gone dark again.
No, this really heartwarming. So she was once given a stuffed toy, which she was super unimpressed with.
Mm.
So
they got her a real life.
So the researchers, basically, there were orphaned kittens. So they let her select an orphan kitten for a pet. And she picked one and she called it... So this is what I've learned. She called it All Ball because she liked to rhyme her words. She used to like signing things that rhymed. Okay. So when she picked this little kitten, she thought it looked like a ball.
Mm-hmm.
So All Ball. All Ball was a small Manx kitten who Coco cared for and looked after. Until one day someone left Coco's cage open, All Ball escaped and was hit by a car. So, and apparently, researchers said Coco was so distressed that she signed a lot of words, including sad, bad, trouble, sad, and made a noise similar to a human cry.
That is horrific.
I know. But then, happy a bit, she was then allowed to choose some more kittens to look after, and she picked two more Manx kittens called Lipstick and Smokey.
Wow. That's a real emotional rollercoaster, that's right. <isn't it? laughs>
Sorry,
what zoo was that, did you say?
That was Coco the gorilla.
Where was she?
She was in the US. Yeah, really? She had US researchers. But you can also, if you Google her, or ask Jeeves about her, you can go and you can watch videos of her with her cats. She was super, because it brought out her maternal instinct and she really cared for
them. Is that, do you think Grace could get a picture of her? That would be, maybe we could be the cat, one of us could be the gorilla and the other two could be the kittens.
Oh, God.
We know who has a good face for a gorilla, don't we? I'm looking in your direction.
Katie.
And then I've got another happy story. Okay, so Stubbs is a famous Manx cat. You might not know him, but he was actually the mayor of Talkeetna, Alaska, from 1997 until his death in 2017.
You are joking.
No, so they had a cat for a mayor. And legend is that every afternoon, Stubbs went to a nearby restaurant and drank water laden with catnip out of a wine glass or a margarita glass.
What?
Do we have a picture of this cat?
Yes, it's like the picture I found was, he's like a little ginger cat, Stubbs is, just reclining in the sun, being the mayor.
So did he open fates and stuff like that? How many rolls, did he have a chain? Like, this is unbelievable. You have blown my mind, like, twice in quick succession.
Do you reckon you dress like a little Victorian mayor, like a little top hat?
That is unbelievable, Katie.
Yeah.
Well, that is tremendous work.
Yeah.
Any more fun facts?
I have the next one. It's more scientific. Experts think the Manx cat has developed a special inner ear part, which is why it isn't all wobbly when it walks around without a tail. Because obviously most cats use their tail as a towards balance. Yeah. But they reckon Manx cats have a... There was a very long scientific-y Latin word, which I do not remember. So let's call it an inner ear part, which stopped, you know, like we have it to stop us getting seasick and such. So the Manx cat has a stronger inner ear part, which lets it balance. And yeah, so I had my only ever cat was a Manx cat.
Right.
And he didn't like me and he ran away pretty much after he was about 3 months old and went to live with a lovely elderly couple on the street behind us. And after that, I vowed to never have another cat again. That's why I like dogs.
It ran away to the local friendly gorilla. but yeah, it's proper been an emotional rollercoaster today's podcast.
It's been like a Ronan Keaton song.
Just got to ride it, Sam. Just got to ride it. Right, that's it for this week's podcast. Katie, much coming up next week?
It's a very busy week. We've got the...
Stronger Together. Stronger Together campaign.
Yeah.
So that's where we're looking for people. You know, we're going to offer almost like a platform for people to, if they've got services they want
to
offer.
I like to think of it as when you go to, when you used to go to certain shops and you'd have that bulletin board where it was everything that was going on and where you could get things you needed. But obviously, if people can't get out to the shops, how do they find out about that?
So we're going to use our social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, plus obviously our printed titles and our website, which I believe pulled in some mega hits last week because obviously people are looking for information.
Yeah.
To try and promote people's, the community coming together around it, basically. Yeah. So it's Stronger Together. Is that a hashtag as well? I think so, isn't it?
Yes. Definitely. And so anyone... If anyone does want to read any of our titles, they can go for the digital editions on iomtoday.co.im. Mm-hmm. But if there are people who, because if you have older relatives who hate the idea of reading on the internet and still want to read the paper version but can't get out to the shops, we will be putting in information about which local news agents are doing delivery services so that they don't have to leave their house and the papers can get to them.
Cool.
So just keep looking in the paper and you'll find that out.
Good stuff. Sam, obviously coronavirus is going to dominate our news agenda for however many weeks to come. But yeah, we're doing our best to be across it, aren't we, as it were?
Yeah, we are really, aren't we? There's not much else you can say about it, really.
People might be wondering, is there much other news?
Well, there's loads.
No, there is.
The courts are still sitting, so we'll still have the best gossip that we'll have on the island.
Is the prom still being done?
The prom works. We're going to be asking questions about the prom works like you've never seen. We want to know, right? Here's the thing. If there's going to be no tourists, why can't they get the prom finished quicker?
They might be able to.
They might be able to, indeed. Will they, though? We don't know. We're going to ask.
Planning? Is that still
happening? Oh, they're still planning. There's loads of planning. There's planning applications that are specific for the Manx Grand Prix.
Oh,
there's things everywhere. There's new firefighters getting trained. All sorts of magic things going on.
Exactly. And if you want to see what these magic things are, buy an examiner on Tuesday.
Exactly. Buy every examiner. Everyone in the co-op. Go on. Yep. Buy every single one.
No one else can have them.
No, we're not trying to.
We're not hoarding.
We don't want panic buying.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just, you know, take a responsible amount and make sure the elderly person next year can get theirs. That's what we're saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hashtag stronger together.
Take them all, but then give them to your elderly relatives and your isolated, vulnerable people.
Yeah, after you've washed your hands.
Make sure
your hands are clean.
Right, on that bombshell, it's time to go. But if you do want to get in touch, please do either at IOM Newspapers, which is our main, obviously, Instagram, Twitter and Facebook titles, but also if you want to get in touch with the podcast team, we're at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and indeed on Twitter.
And
Sam,
we'll be back when we can. Next week.
Yeah, hopefully next week.
With Katie
and maybe even Jess.
Maybe Jess.
Yeah. Until then.
Bye for now.